We serve an amazing God, won't we? The God who wants to restore us. The God who wants to renew us. And He's created us that way. It's faith. Faith in what God is going to do in our lives. And we know we've been looking at it, and God wants us to advance. He doesn't want us to stay where we are. He wants us to advance. It's not just a sentence that I've made up. It's part of the prophetic word that God gave us. And actually, the thread of that is running through Scripture as well. It's not just for us individually or as a body here. It's for the whole body of Christ. God wants all of His people to be advancing. There are times in the Scriptures where we see God is waiting for His people to move. So often they're saying, God, are you going to do something? Are you going to do something? And God's saying, I'm waiting for you to move.
That's right.
Yeah, and I think we've got to recognize that, is this a period in time where God is waiting for us to move? Where He's expecting us to move? Where He's anticipating us to move? They said advancement is personal as well as corporate.
Yes.
Absolute surrender, the saying I gave a few weeks, absolute surrender is not about me getting closer to God, but allowing God to get closer to me. You say, that's a twist on words, but it's true. It's not about what I can do to get closer to God. It's what am I prepared to release to allow God to get closer to me. That's the crux of the matter. How close are we allowing God to get? Our advancement depends on our relationship. Are we keeping God at arm's length or even further away? Or are we demolishing the defensive barriers that we've got around us, that we've built around us for our own safety and for our own protection? You know, and are we inviting, say, God, come closer, please? There's that song, Oh, for a Closer Walk with Thee. It's an old one, but it's the sentiments there, Oh, for a Closer Walk with Thee. It's for us to be actually speaking that out. See, the closer our walk is with God, that'll determine our mindset and our thinking. When we look at Romans 12, we're going back to this again, I'm afraid, and we'll keep going back to it, I think, because it is so important, and I don't think we've got it yet. Romans 12 and verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually. It's a process. God's saying, He wants, by the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes, so that you may prove for yourselves what the will of God is. So God wants us to know in our knowers what God is good, and that He's actually shown us the way forward. Is what He wants us to know what is the will of God. That which is good and acceptable and perfect in His plan and purpose for you. God wants us to know the plan and purpose He has got for each one of us. It's a personal plan and a corporate plan. And He wants to show us that is. Has anyone been in the situation where God's been speaking to them and they've resisted? Not now, Lord. No, we can wait. Anybody? Nobody's daring to admit. Oh, there are a few hands coming up. That's better. Yes. You know, for me, I think I've shared it before. For me, one of these times was baptism. You think, what do you mean it was baptism? Yeah, it was. I joined the Baptist church where Helen was a member by a profession of faith.
not through total immersion, which is unusual to join a Baptist church with when you haven't been totally immersed in baptism in the waters. But I was brought up a high Anglican. I was baptized as a baby. I was confirmed when I was 12. I'd done it. I didn't need to be baptized. But baptism kept coming up. God kept bringing it up. And different people would get so annoying, they'd talk about it as well. And in a Baptist church, that was quite regular that they were talking about it. You know? And it would keep coming out. Not again, Lord. What are you on about? And it's one of those things that got stuck in my mind. And this went on for quite a long period of time. And one day at the start of the quiet time, I don't know whether you do it, you know, write down different things, prayer point as you're going apart, you're going to do. In one of the points, it was niggling. So it was one of the prayer points as I was putting on my list, baptism. Before I even got to pray for it, God just said to me very, very clearly, don't ask, just do it. And I mean, boomf, loud like that. Don't ask, just do it. Obedience, allowing God to get closer, changes things. And that completely turned my life round when I went through the waters of baptism. Completely. So we can get a mindset, and we can be very sincere in our mindset, but it may be that we are sincerely wrong. If we want a deeper and more intimate relation with God, we must learn to be truly honest with Him, share our feelings, our thoughts with Him, and trust Him. When He asks us to do something, we need to be like Jesus, don't we? I only do what I do, what I see the Father doing, and I only say what I hear the Father saying. Putting our relationship with God top of the list. It's not behind everybody else. It's been said already this morning about husbands and wives and family relationships. But for any good marriage, there's three. The third one's Jesus. And He's the one who's in between. Yeah. Proverbs 3:32 in the New Living Translation says, He offers His friendship to the godly. God offers His friendship to the godly. Notice the word offer. We have to receive it. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and He'll draw near to you. We have to be willing to trust God and allow God to be God. But there's the power of the mind. We're looking at the transformed mind. And there's a saying, you are what you think. James Allen, a philosopher, said, as a man thinks, so he is. As he continues to think, so he remains. That's the power of the mind over ourselves. As a man thinks, so he is. As he continues to think, so he remains. Rick Warren, the way you think determines the way you feel, and the way you feel determines the way you act. Now, they're all men's sins, but what does God say in the Bible? Proverbs 23 and verse 7 says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Okay? As we think in our hearts, that's what we'll be like. When Jesus was speaking in Matthew 15, must be in this one, I've got it, that I wanted. Why I'm doing this, because I'm trying not to use the amplified all the time, because it amplifies it.
Matthew 15, verse 18. But these things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. So we've got here, out of the heart it's talking about. The heart in the Bible is not this pumping organ. The heart is the inner self. The part that thinks, that feels, that decides. The heart is something which is central to a man, or a woman, to any human. It's the part of us that decides. The thinking process is carried out by the heart. Our thoughts control us. Often we say mind and brain are interchangeable, but they're not. The brain is a physical thing. You can touch your brain. It's made up of whole masses and masses of nerve cells. You can't touch the mind. You could say, in another way of putting it, is the mind, the soul. The mind, the will, and the emotion, that's what they say, built makes up the soul. The mind is separate, yet you can't separate it from the brain. The mind uses the brain responds to what the mind wants. The mind changes the brain. The mind is energy. It generates energy through thinking, feeling, and doing. We build or we create thoughts as we're thinking. And as we build and create thoughts, physical structures are created out of those thoughts. There are proteins that are produced. Okay, we're going back to science a bit of biology again, but we've got to remember who created this? God. And it's for us to have a little bit of an understanding of what God has done for us to actually be moving forward. The things that are produced in the brain alters the brain. As I said to you last week, the brain can grow. I think we shocked a few by saying how many cells were lost every day. But then we saw out of how many. Remember, 10,000 a day we lose. But that's out of a mass of about 85 billion. So it's not bad. And it's also, we're producing new. That's something that I didn't realize. But looking at this, that's something we do. We make, we recreate new brain cells. Because I know years ago we were talking with there was someone who was being healed, and I thought, well, hang on, that's not possible. Brain cells die. They don't get recreated. And then I got to check with myself, yeah, anything's possible to God. He can create new cells if he wants to. I'm not going to argue with him. Yeah. So there we go. They say the brain, it's neuroplasticity. That's a big word, isn't it? But that means the brain is pliable. It's changeable. It keeps moving. We need to learn how to manage our thoughts and our actions because they affect what goes on in the brain. If we learn to manage our minds, we can make our feelings work for us, not against us. Hang on. That's a bit of a weird one, but just hold with me. You know, learn to manage our minds. When I was looking at this, there's a figure came up that, and this is from a very, very respectable doctor, quoting, between 75 and 98% of all of our ailments, mental and physical, are caused by the way we think. That's staggering. Our physical illnesses can, I'm not saying all, please, can be caused by the way we think. Romans 8, verse 5. For those who are living according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, which gratifies the body. But those who are living according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. That's the Spirit's will and purpose. Now the mind of the flesh is death, both now and forever, but it pursues sin. But the mind of the Spirit is life and peace, the spiritual well-being that comes from walking with God, both now and forever. The mind of the flesh with its sinful pursuits is actively hostile to God. It does not submit itself to God's law, since it cannot. And those who are in the flesh, living a life that caters to sinful appetites and impulses, cannot please God. However, you are not living in the flesh, controlled by the sinful nature, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God lives in you, directing and guiding you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him and is not a child of God. So good news, you're all children of God. So what are you controlled by? The Spirit. Let's remember that. Let's keep that coming through our thoughts, that we're controlled by the Spirit. Turn with me to Numbers 13, so we can get an example of what's going on. An illustration from the Scripture about our thoughts. This is where Moses is sending the spies out into the land. I'll go into this one, sorry. Before they go to the promised land. Numbers 13. Now remember that God has told them that the promised land is theirs. Before they even get there, before they cross into it, God says, this is your land. So we see in verse 13, verse 25. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Remember the story? It took two men to carry one cluster of grapes. That's a fair old cluster of grapes. They told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land at the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is the land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in the men are men of great stature. Then we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. What are we looking at there? God's told them they've got it. It's theirs. Nevertheless, that's what we're seeing. The people are big, the cities are strong, and we are not able to go up. In fact, we're like grasshoppers in their sight, their eyes. That's what they said, because they'd never spoken to the people. That's the fear that was sown into their minds.
that we are like grasshoppers. We're just little nothings next to these big guys. When in fact God had said, look, you're going to overcome. And we've got there that Caleb said, we are able. We are able. You are what you think. God has told them it was theirs. But they turned back and didn't trust God. They didn't believe God. And what was the outcome? 40 years they were wandering around. And every one of those men, apart from Joshua and Caleb, who were the two spies who said, we can, every one of the others and all the other men of that age group died in the wilderness. It was the youngsters under 20 that came through. All the older men died because they listened to the false report. And how many hundred thousand would that be, men dying, because they'd listened to 10 people saying we can't, instead of listening to the two who said we can? It's what they thought. Success comes in cans. I said that last week. Success comes in cans. Failures come in can'ts. You know, when we were buying the farm, or we were looking at the farm the first time, some of you will know this, I was told about this place, the farmstead in Beverley Market one day, and I came to see the place, and as I was just coming up the drive, there's a rise halfway up the drive, and I was just on the top of that rise, and I felt God say to me very clearly, this is yours. This is yours. I hadn't even got out the car to have a look at it, but God said it. We looked round, went back, forced Helen to go back to work to the senior bank manager. They gave a figure that would give. I was talking with the estate agent selling this place. It wasn't enough, so we went back to the bank. I didn't give up. The bank normally give a figure and don't budge. I said, I want more money. He said, okay then. That doesn't normally happen. And within 10 days from seeing the place, for the very, very first time, we were in the house, stripping wallpaper off, had the keys, and the contracts were completely signed. 10 days. Yes, that's God. That doesn't happen under English law. The solicitors were absolutely gobsmacked. We can't exchange in one afternoon. Yes, you can. And that's what happened. When God says something, don't give up. It's keep pressing in. I asked last week, what is our capacity for joy? Are we able to receive? What's our ability to receive joy? Are we aware how depleted our joy reservoirs have got? All that I've been saying up to now at this point is linked in to joy. If you haven't gathered, that's what the focus is. It's what the focus as was last week and the week before and in January. And I'm going to tell you now, the focus on joy is going to keep moving on.
Amen.
Yes. Yes. You know, joy is mentioned over 100 times in the Old Testament. And joy is mentioned over 60 times in the New Testament. So to quote C.S. Lewis again, joy is the serious business of heaven. God wants it. God wants us to have joy. We need to be endeavouring to have more joy. How? It's how we think. Joy comes. God tells us that, doesn't he? Weeping may be for the night, but joy comes in the morning. So anybody who's feeling grumpy when you get out of bed, think about that. Joy comes in the morning. You've said that, God, I want it. No excuse for being grumpy. David? I'm saying that. David's not a morning person. Yes. Okay. It's the serious business. Remember last week I was talking about two sides of the brain. The left side of the brain analyzes. It works out. It's problem solving. And the right side of the front of the brain is called the joy center. And the joy center can grow. Yes, your brain can grow. The joy center is the part of the brain that can increase, that it can grow. Do you realize as we feed the joy center, it stimulates, it grows. It's over a period of time, but we're going to keep looking at that. Yeah, over a period of time, how we can be stimulating the joy center. But do you realize the older you get, the more joyful you can become? Yeah, I think that's wonderful. You know, as I've been looking at this, I'm so encouraged about it. Because most people say, oh, the older you get, things is downhill. Well, it ain't, folks. God's saying the older you can get, the more joyful you can become. And I don't know whether you found it, but as I've been getting older, I seem to be a bit more patient. I feel a bit more tolerant. I'm bragging, I'm blowing my own trumpet here, but that's the way I am. I know it is, at one stage, I would think, I'm too busy, I can't be doing that. Whereas now, I get quite a lot of interruptions when I'm doing things. It's okay, take it in the stride, don't matter, it'll all pan out, it'll work through, and that's getting into the right frame of mind. And it's because if we start getting, can't do this, can't do that, we start getting stressed, you get less done. I found that, tortoise and hare, just take it nice and steady. And that's, God's wanting us to be more joyful. He wants us to be focused on the right thing, and I'm coming onto that now. Joy comes. Our brains can enlarge. Or the joy center can enlarge. These are medical facts. But all of these medical facts are linked in to the Bible. As I said at the beginning there, it's God's way, not man's way. Man is only just picking up, and they're just starting to get hold of it now, or fairly recently anyway. What God has been saying from the beginning of time. How do we think? How do we think that makes us get happier? We have thoughts that come through into the brain. And when we have these thoughts, the brain produces substances. Negative thoughts produce as well as positive thoughts. The negative thoughts, put it this way, if we experience chronic stress, it produces a hormone called cortisol. And this hormone is released into your brain. And it goes and touches the brain, and it acts like acid, and it can eat away part of your brain. And it's been proved that if you've got a history of stress, you can lose up to 25% of the part of your brain that's able to form new memories. That's staggering. And that's by being stressed, you lose. Okay? When we think positive, good, wholesome thoughts, we're releasing dopamine and serotonin. Thank you. I couldn't read my writing properly there. And both of those are associated with happiness. And people with clinical depression often have lower doses of serotonin. As we think, energy is released and the neurons are firing together in our brains. And sometimes this firing together
merge, the fuse together, like winding the strands of a piece of wire together, and they get thicker, and that causes growth. The joy center grows. Again, how can we grow our joy center? Last week I said, as a start, because as I said, it's a continuing process, and the first thing I said last week for us to be doing to cause our joy center to grow is practice gratitude. This stimulates more dopamine, which causes greater alertness. It causes us to be brighter in the mind, and we appreciate more. That means when we appreciate more, we're brighter, we're happier, so the brain grows. Isn't that simple? A simple thing to do. So thank you. I appreciate it. That's two bits more gone in the brain. Yeah? Yeah, so it's not hard for us to, but it's a change of mindset. It's so easy to be grumpy, isn't it? It's so easy to, can't be doing that. Or to find the negative thought. Oh, yeah, but this should have happened first. No, forget that. Thank you. That was great. Really enjoyed that. We appreciate more. Get the joy center started to being developed. You know, the second point, the Bible is very, very practical. And when I was writing this, the verse that came to mind was from the NIV translation. And it's Philippians 4:8. We're doing Philippians in the Bible study, actually. We're looking at the joy in the Bible study in there as well. So they're getting a double whammy. Yeah, we're looking, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lacking, whatever is admirable, if anything is lovely, not lacking, beg your pardon, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. That's what the Bible tells us to do. What's all of those things? Oh, they're good things. Things you, yeah. And they said, come on, think about such things. And it goes on, whatever you've learned or received or heard from me, that's what Paul's speaking, put into practice. Think about good things. That's what God's saying. Think about good things. As you said, medical science is just catching up. God is telling us to focus on the positive. That's the scripture, which was written before the medical science. Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. So we can be in charge by what we're thinking is what's happening in our destiny. It starts with a thought. What are we releasing into our brains? Are we developing and enlarging, or are we decreasing with our thought patterns? We've got to take things on board, receive the good. That's what Paul's telling them. Whatever you receive from me, put into practice. Whatever we receive from Scripture, put into practice. Whatever we've got going on around us, the good stuff, put into practice. Giving thanks for it, showing gratitude. Thank you, God. Let's have a positive attitude. And I'm just going to say it now. Mike and Yvonne's attitude with what's happening at the present time. That's brilliant. That's thank you, God. It's not what we expected, but we're trusting you and we're going forward. Joy center's growing. Focus. Looking on the positive things that are going on. Often something nice could happen to us. It can be a fleeting thing. And we just think about it for a second or two and then move on. But when negatives happen, we tend to dwell on the negatives. We seem to have a propensity to take hold of the negative and elaborate, not let go. In fact, we should be dwelling on the positive. when we should be turning the spotlight on the good and focusing on the good. When we focus on the good, we see more. Who's seen it on the television with CSI and this sort of thing where they're going around with a torch? Think, what the heck have you got a torch for? I'll tell you what for, because if you're looking in a torch beam, you see far more, because your eyes are spread out all over. Have you ever dropped anything on the floor and looked for it and I can't find it? You get a torch and you shine the torch beam round, because you're then focusing more, and invariably you use a torch, you find what you've dropped. That has been there, and you've tried without the torch, you can't find it, but the torch, you see it. Anyway, God's saying, look, come on, focus. Turn the spotlight on the good. You see, it says, the NIV puts it, you know, think about such things. Whereas the New King James and others say, meditate. Now, I don't know about you, but in your thought patterns, does meditate mean something different to think? It's really, meditation is long thinking. And that's the thing, long thinking. When we've got something positive, let's look at it and let's think about it. Long thinking. Yeah, I'm talking, you know, whatever's going on in our lives, look at it and dwell. That was good. And share it with others. You know, and so that refreshes it in your mind again. You know, that was good. That was good. The scriptures, meditating on the scriptures. We'll probably come to meditation at a later date, but I've got time for that this morning. Because when we're dwelling, when we're chewing, you know, I've said a number of times what Alex used to say to us, switch your mind and use a minute. Never think about going to meditate for an hour. Meditate for a minute to start with. Pick a verse and just chew it. Think about it for a minute. And then the minute will develop into longer. But dwell on it. Receive what has been said from it. You see, that causes greater production in the brain. More dopamine, more serotonin. And that's going, where's that going? To the joy center. It's increasing the brain. And over the period of time, the brain develops. Meditation can make part of your brain thicker. And I don't mean dirty thick. I mean thicker. There's that adage, isn't there? Use it or lose it. That can apply to what we've got in our minds. So let's make a conscious effort to give thanks, to be more grateful for what's going on, to look to the positives, the good, the wholesome, and let's meditate, not just fleetingly think about something, but dwell on them, chew them, and digest. The more positives, the more joy that comes. Let's feed our minds with the blessings from God. The good things, not the lies, are the things from Satan. Let's declare daily what I brought with you last week. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Do you want to say that? The joy of the Lord is my strength. And Jesus said, I have told you these things so that my joy will remain in you and that your joy may be full. Jesus wants us to receive his joy and to be a fullness of joy. So receive God's word. God wants you, wants us to be joyful. I said last week, my desire is for this congregation to be known as happy people, as joyous people. Yes, I mentioned the Happiest People on Earth book. Well, wouldn't it be great if that was, we are known for that in the whole of the area? Yeah. You're the happy people. Yes, yeah. Thank you, Lord. We want joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength.